I'm doing a deep dive in all your whole career. You've done so many amazing things, and now you got this new record, Circle of Stone, which is great. And it sounds like you're getting a pretty good response from it, right?
Yes, it's very surprising. A lot of my hardcore fans that have been with me for a long time, some of them say that this is my best record. And that's amazing to think I've been going this long. And the people who I really care what they think, that's my hardcore fans. I don't really worry too much what they write in magazines or anything like that. But fans who've supported me for a long time, if they say, we think this is one of your best, then that feels good. I take that seriously. Whereas I don't really care what journalists or anybody else says, because so often it's not genuine. There's some ulterior motive or reason that they might want to say something. Whereas I feel with my fans, they spent the time, they've invested the money, they have every right to say, you know what, it's not as good as your last one, because they bought the last one. You know, whereas I feel often that journalists, in the old days anyway, just weren't invested and would be very dismissive of albums by anybody, really, and not think about how long it took to make or what the process may have been to lead like that, to lead to the result. So when I started my Infinite Entanglement trilogy, I made sure that the first album was sent out to all the fans that had pre-ordered before it went to any press.
Yeah.
Something, I was so small, it made no impact at all on sales because the people that were going to buy it initially already got it. And that was nice. It was really nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, because didn't you say it was the most pre-orders you'd ever had? And it's on this really cool vinyl.
This one is the most pre-orders. This Circle of Stone, we've sold out three times. We've sold out of T-shirts on the tour. It's amazing, the reaction that we've had. And we decided to do different colored vinyls, one of them limited edition, and that sold out very quickly, quicker than anything else. So it's been amazing, really, the reaction.
Yeah. Do you have that copy? Because I saw you in another interview show, like the booklet or whatever, that it's really cool. It's this very colorful, giant thing.
Yeah, we got it somewhere here. I don't know where. Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah, because I think that's one thing that's you know, people complain, musicians will say like, oh, well, nobody's buying our records and stuff. But like, I think if you do things like what you're doing, where you up the game and you include very cool things, then it's worth it. You're getting more than just the songs, which people can hear the songs streaming for free. But when you include the other things like the booklets and stuff, I think that makes it worth it more for the collector and the hardcore fans, which again, that's who you're trying to please.
We're fans as well. Me and my team. It's a small team, but we're very dedicated and we are fans. And we're these nerdy, geeky collectors that can't help buying something three times because it's on different formats. That's just us. So we are competitive as well. So we look at what other people do and we go, well, we could have that. Why don't we? Oh, we could have that. But you know what? When we do it, we could do it with an extra couple of pages and things like this. So that's exciting to, as an artist, to be able to take my work all the way from the ideas in the studio and to have the artwork that I want, that I believe represents that, feels really nice.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's cool. The album is, musically, it's not a huge departure from what you've done your whole career, you know, fast-paced metal and stuff. But lyrically, it's really interesting. It's almost like an inspirational album in that regard, because it's all about like, getting knocked down and getting back up and all these like really like almost motivational, inspirational messages in the songs.
What I tried to do with the Circle of Stone album was to keep it a little bit simpler lyrically, where I'm often really interested in finding an unusual rhyme, putting two words together into a phrase that you wouldn't normally expect. With the Circle of Stone, it was a lot more emotional. I thought, I'm going to try with this one to keep things simpler generally. And so it comes from a more emotional place with a simple lyric in a lot of places, but still following this theme of talking to myself and having a conversation with my listener that says, don't give up. They will tell you to give up. They will make you feel like giving up, but don't accept what they say and don't let their words be the words that you use to describe yourself. And it's a theme that's run through the last couple of albums.
Yeah. Well, and I think I heard you say, this was a great quote that you were saying, you know, talk to yourself like you're talking to your best friend, because it is interesting. A lot of times people, we beat ourselves up so much. And I mean, I see people like they treat their pets better than they treat themselves. You know, like you would never, say those kinds of things to your pet or your friend. So that is really good advice.
Yeah, I stole that completely from somebody else. You from Professor Peterson, when he said, you look after your dog better than yourself. And I thought, you know, that's so true. And it really rang true with me, because when I lost my dog through illness, I didn't, it was horrible. And I think it's true. And you might talk your best friend off a ledge, but you won't think of talking yourself, or that you can talk to yourself, a lot of people. So it's a theme that is serious for me, because I work with words. And when I'm putting my songs together, each word is important and the phrase is important, as is the feeling. But people underestimate the power of individual words. And I try and use individual words in the best way that I can to leave my listener, my fan, feeling better at the end of the song, feeling that if they're weak, they can grow strong. And it's just something that's become more a part of what I do as we've gone on. And with Circle of Stone, there is absolute misery and darkness. At the same time, there is hope.
Yeah. Well, the song that reminds me of when you say darkness, that song Rage, which is really interesting. You said it was about this Prince Llewellyn guy. So I looked him up and I was reading. I mean, this guy's crazy. Like, somebody had sex with his wife, so he hangs the guy. He kills his dog. I mean, this guy was vicious.
Yeah. And for me, what I wanted to do in that song, I wanted to avoid using the words hound or dog. And for those of us that love animals, to put it in the context of your friend and losing your temper and that rage, the blind rage that you can fly into, which I've been guilty of in the past, and you live with the regret and the consequence of what you do when you lose your temper, fly into that rage. And for Prince Llewellyn, a dark character, he suffers from that. And you can't have a more loyal friend than your dog that will never question you. When I was suffering with suicidal thoughts, my dog was still with me and you know, licking my face and making a fuss. It was an amazing thing when I look back. And I really wanted to make sure I didn't use those words, hound or dog, that it was friend. So, and that came out, and then people like you've done have looked into it, found it's a true story, and also it comes from this Celtic ancestral mentality because it's a Welsh story. So I'm really happy with the way that it turned out, but it took some convincing. We had the song in different formats and we had to rearrange it. And it took a lot from the initial parts of that song and the lyric to get that into the format that ended up being the album version. There was a lot of work there, trying things in different order, and it fell into place. It was the last session that we were going to have recording the vocals. We had about 30 minutes left on what we thought would be a demo vocal. And my co-producer, Chris, said, can you just do something here at the beginning? Let's have a quiet start. Just anything will do, just so we've got something nice to listen to over the weekend. And so I did. I didn't have a special lyric for it. And then a few days later, when we listened back, that is the actual vocal, that beginning. For some reason, there was a magic in the room. There was no pressure. I was completely relaxed when I did it. And that's the start of the story, is that quiet beginning. Imagining that you are haunted because you can't sleep. You can't get into a deep sleep. That something is there. And that was it. That was the beginning. And we had it from then.
That's awesome. So is it cathartic to write those kinds of songs? Because these are feelings that you had and thoughts that you had.
Well, I always try to build a bridge between the character in the song, whether that's a true story or something I've created in my own mind, build that bridge from my own emotion into the song. So even though it doesn't say, often it doesn't say me, the way I feel, it says the way we feel or you feel, then there's still, if you look closely, you can see that, yeah, I've interpreted those feelings. And there is, from the darkest to the most hopeful, there's usually a connection to me.
Yeah. Well, and like the song Broken Man, that's another one, that a lyric that resonated with me on that one is, I look back now, I see that I had a lot of help, but then like a fool, I thought it was all good luck. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's like, so that's something that you do realize as you get older. You think that if something good happens, oh, well, that was just luck. And then you realize like, no, you know, you had a lot of people in your corner.
Yeah. A lot of people were opening those doors, were going, okay, I'll give you a helping hand, but you don't see them. Or I'm guilty of that. And I think a lot of people are in their late 20s and early 30s when you're ambitious, you're constantly looking forward, and where you are doesn't count because it's not where you want to be. And that isn't healthy in the long term. When I'm looking back going, oh no, I was with these wonderful people in these wonderful places with these incredible opportunities, but I just didn't go, oh, where am I now? And enjoy where I am. I would look forward. No, I'm not there yet. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep moving forward. And then when life really kicks the crap out of you a few times and you are on the floor and you go, then maybe you have a bit more humility and go, ah, well, I wouldn't have got here if they hadn't helped me, if they hadn't picked me up, if they hadn't sat me down and go, come on, man, you could do it. It's not about that. I remember working in a shop. I worked in a warehouse. I worked as a driver. After Maiden, I'd spent all my money on trying to make it in a band, keep the band together, make my albums. And people would come into the shop, fans would come into the shop, and they wouldn't say, why are you working in a shop? They would say, when's your next album? What are you doing? When are you going to be on tour again? And they didn't look at me like, oh, he's reduced to being a shop worker. It's like, oh, well, he must be planning something. he must be coming back. We, you know, and that was incredible, really. That as well, you know, some people cynical and horrible and never believed. But those fans that came in and said, when's your next album? When I didn't even believe in myself, they still believed that I could do quality work and do something worth listening to. That was incredible. And Broken Man, when I look back and I stopped drinking, which was a big part of realizing how dumb I'd been in situations before, then I just wanted to be honest. You know, a part of me, I don't care about being cool. I absolutely don't care about putting on a big rock star show and keeping a distance. I'm not cool. I'm just a guy who has learned to sing because I love to sing. And I realize that for me, I'm nothing without my fans. And I live for that. I imagine how a song is going to be live, how people will react. Will we be able to get people to sing this bit? And when we're mixing, let's mix it this way so that when we do it live, you, as a listener, you've heard this, but when you see it live, it'll be this great big visceral thing that you go, wow, but you know it, even though you don't think you know it. So that's really something special for me, and I feel very lucky to be able to do that. And I didn't think gratitude was important when I was in my late 20s and in my early 30s or anything like that. And then my philosophy has changed. So expect nothing. Expect the worst. Expect nothing. But prepare for the worst. But when you do have something good happen, just celebrate it, no matter how small it is. And that was a thing I was guilty of in the past. Small things, great things that happened to me, I didn't go, whoa, we sold 5 CDs. This is the most CDs we sold on a night, or anything. We got 3 beers. Wow. I just took it in my stride. And I think now, celebrate those small things. That's a part of life because it is really tough. And to keep moving forward takes a lot that you just didn't expect. So I like the idea of, and I live by the idea of, celebrate small things. Prepare for the worst. Expect nothing. Don't expect it to be good or bad. If it's bad, all right, then you got to deal with it. But if it's good, take a moment to say, this is a good thing. Okay, be grateful for it. And really, that philosophy, as I've got older, that's really helped me to keep going, to get through each day.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of that lyric. This is one of my favorite songs on the record, is Ghost in the Bottle. It's such a catchy, like, fast-paced tune. But that lyric, that's just like what you're talking about right now, like, what you can do, accept that life is hard, but good times could be in the cards. Wish it, dream it, be it, we will find a way. Like, that's a very positive, inspirational message to people.
It's one of my favorite lyrics. It's a really simple, obvious cliche. Good times could be on the cards. It's a little bit dumb. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I had it there. I'm keeping this. It just brings you back to reality and go, you know what? As bad as it is, could be something good around the corner. Doesn't have to be bad. So I really like that. And the ghost, keeping the ghost in the bottle, keeping hey, maybe you can bottle up your bad thoughts and just take a look and go in and look at it and go, actually, it doesn't look so bad. Now it's in a bottle and it's in the distance. No, actually, maybe I can, just keep things in there. So I'm glad that you like that one and you saw positive in it.
Well, it's just so realistic. Like, you do have to accept that life is hard, but like, yeah, there's probably something good around the corner. Like, that's just life. It's just ups and downs. Like, you, I think, like, I noticed that you said driving. That's what's interesting. I used to do driving too. I'm not ashamed. I was an Uber driver. And I remember it was like kind of taught me like life, because I'd always want all my rides to be high tippers and, you know, to locations I wanted to go to. But I would get these awful riders and terrible locations. But then I knew, like, well, I'm going to do this one, but then I bet the next one's going to be a big tipper in a great place. And that's how it was. Like, you couldn't control it as much as you wanted. You could not make every ride be a good ride. And that was just like what I learned. I was like, okay, that's life. Like, you're going to have some bad times and some good times.
When I was driving, and sometimes you drive the drive pilots or air crew to a different airport to get their, you know, their next job and everything. And I'd sometimes get into conversation with people, and sometimes I'd say, yeah, I'm a singer. I'm working this job to get my band back together and do this. And I remember one guy in his late 50s saying, oh, my life just went through hell. I got divorced. I lost everything, the house I had and all of that. And but I met a great woman, and we fell in love and all of this business. And he said, I rent the house I used to own now. I live back in the house that I loved. And we're happy. Me and my wife were happy. We got everything. And he said to me, he said, don't give up. It can happen. Don't give up. And there I was, just driving a car, you know, like an Uber. And I thought, what? But, you know, that was so right. And here I am, I'm older, and I'm selling more records than I've ever sold. I've got a great team, and I see fans that have been with me for over 20 years. And it's incredible, an incredible feeling to go to places and play to bigger crowds and sell out in places that you think, oh man, if only we could play there. And now we're doing it on a regular basis from those dark days and pushing forward. And because I was very, very lucky to have people that really believed in me.
Yeah. So when you look back on your whole career, I mean, it's such an interesting path, because you were in Wolfsbane, and I mean, you guys played big shows with besides Iron Maiden, you also played Motorhead, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, and all these big names. And that band was growing and getting bigger. And then you joined Maiden, and then that's like, you're at the top of that's like one of the biggest metal bands in the world. And then you go out of that, and now you're kind of climbing back and you're doing well. So when you look back, is there something that you would have changed or done differently? Or do you feel like you had to go through that path to learn?
You know, especially in those early days, I was so earnest and ambitious about things. I would have relaxed a lot more and wouldn't have taken things quite so serious if I could go back now. But maybe a part of that being ambitious and trying to make the best lyrics that I could, even though sometimes there were easygoing, happy lyrics, joyful, trying to make those best lyrics, trying to be the best poet and songwriter that I could, and trying to make every performance something that was memorable for people in a good way. Maybe that discipline that I had back then, that was really what got me through to where I am now, because now it's second nature. Now I don't have to think about what I want to put in to make the show good. And we have a saying within my team. We say our worst show has to be a good show, and our best show should be a religious experience. That's the thing. You can't, we won't accept, man. And one of the things that happens is uncertainty and living in the moment. I'm talking right in a moment, less than a second. If you're on stage and something goes wrong, you've lost concentration, you've struck the wrong chord. You've gone, oh no, I've got the chorus and it was the second verse, or oh no, this is not the middle eight, this is actually the second chorus, oh dear, and things like this. You got to forget it, man, and move on. You just got to leave it there. Leave that. Now get this bit right. No, get this bit right. Oh, get this bit right. Get this bit right. And you can get to the end of the show and feel like you've been on a bleeding tightrope the whole way through. And just going, oh, no. Oh, and you can't let that past moment, that moment, just bleed into the future and steal the next part that you're trying to get perfect. Because with music, you can be perfect. You can get everybody in time. Yeah, we're in time, in tune. That's the minimum that you've got to be. Then you've got to express it around that. So every time that you fall, you trip, you go, oh, no, come on, come on, come on. And you'll get to it the end of the show sometimes. Go, oh, man, how did I do it? Oh, I'm so glad that's over. And fans haven't noticed because you've been so concentrated. Fans have gone, wow, it's one of the best ever. You go, what? That was one of the toughest ever. Right. And it works like that. And then sometimes you get it bang on. Yeah, got it, got it, got it. Yeah, this note here, breathy there, extra breathy. Breathe here, big breath, support this note, right. Dig into the rhythm now. Come on, lads. Let's dig in. Bang, bang, bang. And you get to the end. Oh, yes, I've done it. I've done it. But that's the way it is. And I think that musical thing of leaving those mistakes where they are and not carrying them through, a big part of that I learned in my time with Maiden. Don't carry those mistakes through. No. No, leave that. Don't let that messed up verse from three songs ago be bugging you now. Be here now. Be right here doing this, focused on this, where you're supposed to be. And I think that's gone through, really. And that's something that I've really worked on. And also in life, I'm looking forward. I'm trying not to let those past mistakes go, oh, but if it had been like this, if I still lived there. No, come on now. Where do you live? Look at what you've got. Look, you're living your life. Here I am. I'm a full-time professional heavy metal singer. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that want to be professional musicians and don't have that opportunity or don't have that luck or still dream of getting their first break. I'm living it, man. I'm living my dream. And I'm so lucky to be able to do that. And if I can make my songs more positive and have a positive message and make you feel at the end of the Blaze Bailey album, you feel a bit more empowered and positive than you did before you put it on, then that's a great thing for me. What I really want is I want the people at the gym there to see the treadmill on fire. And they're looking at you and they're scared. They're going, oh, what's with that guy? He set the treadmill on fire. He's so powerful. Well, he's listening to a Blaze Bailey album.
Yeah, I love it. No, I'm feeling the passion. I mean, it's not only the lyrics, but you back it up with, you can tell. I mean, you said that I don't care about being cool, but I don't know if you call it cool or what, but I just love when people are excited about stuff. Like you said, you're a heavy metal nerd. I mean, you can tell that you really care about this stuff and love it. You're not just doing it to sell tickets or make money or whatever. Like, you actually really love the music and you want to do a good job. And I think people can see that.
I feel very lucky, you know, that I'm able to do what I do as my job. But also the other side of that is I'm cursed. I can't do anything else, really. I'm an unskilled worker. That's it. So any other job I do, I am at the bottom of the pile with everybody else. If I'm working minimum wage in any other job that I do. So to be able to work this job and do something that I'm good at, and in what job do people come up to you at the end of your day and say, I love what you did? I mean, how lucky are you to have that? You must have done it as well. You work jobs where people basically at the end of the day, they look at you as if they'd trod in dog crap. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I remember when I was driving sometimes, people would look at me like, oh, I don't want the driver talking to me. Oh, what? Who are you?
Yep.
You know? And what's important is being a good person, not being famous or well-paid or anything. What sort of person are you? Are you a good person? Are you a kind person? Are you responsible for yourself? Do you try and do well for yourself? Do you try to survive and get through all this hardship and struggle? Do you try your best? That makes you a good person. But if you don't, if you look down on people and you're trying to take advantage of people, then no, I haven't got time for that. So I'm lucky, really, to be in a situation where I am able to meet my fans. I do a free meet and greet. It's included in your ticket price. My tickets aren't any more expensive than anyone else at my level. When you come to a Blaze Bayley show, your meet and greet is included. And so what's different about that compared to a lot of artists, I actually meet everyone in my audience before the show because it's a free meet and greet. And they we're able to spend a few seconds together, a couple of minutes, and they say, this song means the world to me, or this album. And that's a really great feeling to have, and people buy my record and come and get me to sign it. And that, man, to sign your work, to have work that is worthy of being signed, is a really great feeling.
Yeah. Would you have any memories? Like, what's the most memorable fan experience that you've had? I mean, there's probably people that have listened to your music that has, you know, it's changed their life.
Well, I think one lad came, we were doing a tour of Russia, this is years and years ago, and he came with a bucket of crabs, live crabs, and he said, Blaze, I got these myself in the Black Sea this morning. And he brought them to the show, the live crabs. I thought it was just put something on the table ready to sign, but he was showing me the live crabs, and we cooked them and ate them afterwards as well, man. And you come to my hotel. My parents run a hotel. Come on holiday. For all the problems with Russia and Crimea and all of that business. So incredible things like that have happened to me. And when people tell their stories, I saw you in 1998. That was the first time. Or the last time I saw you was 1998. And then they've come and they've been down some kind of rabbit hole and understood, oh, actually, I can like Iron Maiden and I can like Blaze Bayley, or I can like Wolfsbane and like Blaze Bayley, or, you know, like all three. That's really, really nice. A nice feeling. But I'm just very lucky that people have supported me and stayed with me for so many years. And now it seems there's a whole bunch of new fans who are going, you know what? Real melodies, interesting lyrics, things that are more intentional, then that's what I want to listen to. And this feels incredible. Well, I talked to a couple of people about this, contemporaries, and we think that what's happening is that those traditional heavy metal values of melodic guitars, big chords, interesting lyrics, and interesting individual voices, that's coming back now into fashion. But, you know, we've kept going and the cycle goes around and we feel that the cycle's coming again. Or is it that things are so accessible now that if you have the streaming services for a small artist like me, it's like having the best radio station in the world. Because if someone hears your name, they can then go and look at what is your most popular song and have a listen. So it's incredible. So I never get annoyed about, oh, you don't make much money off streaming. I really don't care because about how much money I make off streaming. But what is better about streaming than what was before it is that you can find Blaze Bayley anywhere in the world that you have internet. You can go and listen to a Blaze Bayley song. If you go, well, what's he like then? You couldn't do that before. It was all tied up by radio and MTV and the video channels. So now I have a much better opportunity to get to people who may like what I do.
Yeah, it definitely seems like you're able to grow your fan base more. I mean, and like you said, around the world, literally. I mean, people can discover you and then go back and to your whole catalog and find all these songs.
I'm very lucky. Some fans get confused, so I try to reassure them. It's okay to stream if you're still buying the album. Because a lot of people are so loyal, they'll go, I'm not going to listen to it until I've bought it from you. And I'll go, it's okay to listen to it. You can still listen and then buy it to have your copy.
In fact, you know, push play and then like go to work and let it repeat. And so you get the stream. There you go. That helps you out.
Then you're changing the algorithm. Then I'm going to come up as you may also like a lot more often. And what I really care about is if I can just fill the venues that I'm playing now. That's our aim. We play venues between 200 to 800 people. If we can fill those venues, that's it for us. That vibe of the sold out venue and it's just an incredible feeling that we love to have.
Yeah. So are you doing mostly just solo shows? Or are you going to try to do a package with some other bands?
Well, I don't really have anything to do with the business side of it. So I find that my energy is best spent on the creative side, thinking of my songs, my lyrics, trying to capture those little ideas as they go by. So what we've got planned for this year is it's in two parts, really. We're doing the 30th anniversary of me joining Iron Maiden with a song that's mostly Iron Maiden from my two albums. So you've got Klansman and you've got Sign of the Cross and our version, our interpretation of Virus and Como Estas Amigos. You've got that is one set that we're doing in some places. And the other set is the Circle of Stone tour, where it's quite a few songs from the new album, Circle of Stone, and from the last album, War Within Me, and a couple of things well old, like from Silicon Messiah era. And it's where we've been booked, where we think, okay, well, there's a few festivals that want that Iron Maiden set. It's probably the last time we're going to do that for a long time. And most of our headline shows have been Circle of Stone. And the songs, I can't tell you, man, the songs that we're doing from the new album are just going over so well live. You can't even believe the difference. And there's we do A Day of Reckoning is one of the songs from Circle of Stone. It's got a challenging middle section because it is so emotional and expressive. And we just forget the record. When you come and see me, it's a different thing to the record. It's a difference between reading and writing in a way. And we do that song in a free time in the middle, and we just have to look at each other and feel where we are to get that bit done. And it's come over so well. It's so dramatic and emotional. It feels huge. And it's almost like a center point of the show, that everything goes to nothing and then comes back from nothing into this immensely powerful chorus that I demand you sing with me.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm just looking at the set list right now and seeing what, so you do some of the old Blaze songs and then your solo stuff, a couple Iron Maiden songs. It looks pretty fun.
It's been going great. We didn't know what to expect, but it's going great. And what I'd like to do is, over the course of the year and maybe going into next year, bring in more of the songs from Circle of Stone, because they all feel, well, we don't do anything that we think we're not going to play live usually. And they all feel like they would be really cool to do live.
Yeah. Would you ever just do like, just start out with a few songs and then just go into Circle of Stone and do it just do the full album?
Well, it's in two halves. So part two of the album, side two, those seven songs, then I think we may at some point in the future end up doing those in the order of the album. But generally speaking, the songs on side one, they have different things to say, and it's nice to put those next to older songs and different things that we do. And so far, that's working really well.
Yeah, I don't see Ghost in the Bottle on the set list, though. Yeah, damn it! Like, I like that one. You got to add that. That's a good one.
I want to add Ghost in the Bottle and Year Beyond This Year and Broken Man and Until We Meet Again. I'd like to put all, at some point, but I think it's too much to come out with 10 new songs. It's too much. And it's also too much to concentrate on. Songs change as we play them live and they become familiar. But in a way, as you play them live, that connection that's almost psychic, because it's musical and you know where the time should be, and then that's where the time is, then I think it's too much to come out with 10 all at once. I think to build it and go, right, come and see this part, come and see this set with these songs in, and then gradually build on that. And my fans come and see me 2 and 3 times on each tour. So it's nice to be able to have a set where if it's your favorite song, there's a chance that you're going to hear it, like Ghost in the Bottle.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, and I don't think you have any U.S. tour dates set up at the moment. You think that would, it's hard to come here, right? Because of the, don't they like charge a bunch of money to tour in different countries? It's really, I didn't understand this until I started doing these podcasts, but.
Yeah, visas are expensive. It's tough to get there, to make it. I'm a small artist. I'm completely independent. So it matters where we spend the money, and we love touring the US. We really enjoyed our last US tour, but it's a lot to get that together and make it balance and go, okay, we're not going to lose a ton of money, or we're going to come back with a bit of money, whatever. But I've got so many fans in the US. It's and so dedicated, that have supported me for so long, were always trying to think of a way to get back.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, like the package deal. Like, I don't know, like if you tour with your buddy Tim Ripper Owens, that'd be, or like, or one of the festivals or something, or the cruises or whatever. Those are always, I think those pay pretty well.
Absolutely. That's it. They're all there. We're waiting for offers. We're sending things out. Would you like us to come and play your cruise? So, we'd love to do it. It's not because we don't want to. It's
right,
just having the opportunity.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you guys got a ton of shows lined up all over the world. The album Circle of Stone is out now. People can get the vinyl or stream it on all the streaming services. And very cool. Thanks so much for doing this. Anything else you want to promote?
Well, just thank you, Chuck. Thanks for having me on the show. And if people would have a listen to Circle of Stone album. And if they like it, tell someone about it, because the best recommendation I can get is from someone who actually knows about music. And generally speaking, those people don't work in record companies. They are people that actually spend their own money on getting an album. So I would just say, if you could give my album a chance, then that would be absolutely great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think people that like that style of music will love this. This is you're at the top of your game with this. If the, people like that Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, you know, the heavy metal kind of music. And like I said, the lyrics, I think that is, like you said, the lyrics are it's different now. It's more intelligent. And so that's really kind of cool. Even if people just want to read the lyrics, I think that's really interesting.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for doing this. And yeah, come back anytime if you have more stuff to promote. And let me know if you ever tour the U.S. I'll come see you.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for having me on the show. Good luck with it.
All right. Thanks so much, Blaze. See ya.